You're listening to Community Matters here on Connemara Community Radio. Now, my next guest is on the line now, and I'm delighted to welcome Damien Pilo, the CEO with the organisation Troar. Good evening, Damien, and welcome to Community Matters.
Good evening, Maureen. Thank you very much for having me.
We're delighted to have you on the programme this evening, Damien. Now, Troar provide a confidential specialist information service for parents who are not married to each other, whether they're living together or apart, their extended families and those who are working with them. What type of supports are provided by the organisation, firstly?
Well, we do a number of different supports, but mainly through the National Information Service, we provide legal information, hopefully made simple, for parents who don't live together or who are separated in relation to guardianship, access, custody, maintenance, you know, all those issues that people end up often in dispute with. And we also provide literature and information in a range of ways to those parents, and training and supports. And then we run a number of national programs. We provide a young parent support program, which we'll hopefully talk to you tonight about, and a kinship care program, which is the care of children who are not your biological children, usually like grandparents, aunts or uncles. And we also run a shared parenting support program, which promotes and encourages parents who are not living together to go down the route of sharing the parenting of their children rather than the conflictual adversarial route of the court. So they're the number of our support programs.
Now, we mentioned there the teen parent program support is set to evolve and expand in Galway. Now, it's been running for about 25 years so far, I believe, has it?
That's right, and you'd be delighted to know that Galway was one of the first projects. So Galway, under the former Minister of State, Frank Fahey, back in 1999, were one of the first pilots, the first three to be piloted out of the maternity hospital there in Galway. And it's because of the success of that, and actually because of a Galway woman, Sheila Lawler, she was working in the maternity hospitals and saw that there was a need for support, the wraparound service of support to young parents, that if you didn't provide it, she was saying, look, I'm seeing these young children coming back to me in years again with more babies, with additional issues, with additional problems, and often the children end up in the care of the state. And she was saying, she spoke to Minister Fahey and she said, look, if we can reach them at that crucial point in their lives, we can prevent these children from going into care. And that has been primarily the main success of the Teen Parent Support Programme, which will now become the Young Parent Support Programme, was supporting mothers and fathers to hold on to their children, to be able to rear the children themselves and continue their own lives and their own education while maintaining a lot of additional support. So it started in Galway with three pilots and expanded to 11 over the last 25 years. And because of that impact and because of the success of the programme, Tusla have also now supported to grow to become the Young Parent Support Programme to extend the age from 19 to 24. So with a bigger catchment of parents potentially coming into the programme. And not only the age, we're also extending the 11 sites to it will be 20 sites by the end of the phase of the program, which is wonderful. So that wherever you are in the country, you hopefully will have access to a young parent support program if you need it.
That sounds hugely beneficial, and I'm sure there is a very wide need for it. I know the age of parents has gone up from 19 under 19 to now under 24 under the new young parent program, and it's expanding into different areas that it wasn't in before. But is it also going to be remain engaged for any longer with the parents of the child, or is this going to have the same cutoff? And what was the cutoff? Were they just supporting them through the first year previously, or what was the support framework?
Well, initially it was that, and in the very early days it was as the parent needed it. But best practice and evidence has shown that if you can give that support for 1,000 days of the young child's life, you give much more opportunities for the mother and father to bond with their child, to become, you know, experts in their own parenting support and maintain their education and sports and all the other things. So the actual program now is now standard across the way, is to expand that support to the first 1,000 days of the child's life, which I think is just roughly about 3 years of the child, just under three. Which is a really important developmental phase. And all the evidence, again, has shown that if you can put the supports into place then and give that child the early developmental supports that they require, you do so much better for the long-term development of the child and the mother and the father and for the benefits into late adulthood. So that's wonderful news that you can, so that a parent coming in from, you know, prenatal to having the baby and going on, but now know that they can get that support for 1,000 days, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and will both programs continue to run simultaneously, or will they amalgamate into one?
Well, they will amalgamate. It's technically has changed now to the Young Parent Support Program, but because some of the existing teen parent support programs haven't received their European funding, social funds, because this program came under European Social Funds, TUSLA and the Department of Children applied to European Social Funds with Source Help, and they received this, you know, this money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a staggered approach. So as the new sites come on board and as the existing sites begin to take and expand the age range, they become the Young Parent Support Programme. So some sites haven't, some of the existing sites of the 11 won't have received their new funding and ability to employ new workers yet. So while they're still now called the Young Parent Support Programme, it technically still, until they get the resources in, will only be still working with the younger age group. So eventually, and after the 3 years, you will stop using the term teen
parent. They will have become amalgamated,
yeah. Yes, all Young Parent Support Programme. And it's a wonderful, because as we know, again, that when young parents come in, mm-hmm. some of the major issues with young parents, apart from the fact that they are very young, and often the pregnancy was unplanned, and often that they're in the minority in their own, as a young parent giving birth, they don't know many other young parents.
Mm-hmm.
So loneliness and isolation are some of the big issues. So the peer support spaces that the local projects can provide is really important. Obviously, the practical supports around parenting, health and well-being, both for the child, for the mother, is really important. We have a ring-fence funding from the school completion program, which is run by TUSLA, which is a support for parents who either want to go back to education or remain in education. It's a particular fund that's available to those parents to help them to continue, and because we know that educational attainment or the lack of thereof has long-term consequences
mm-hmm.
in terms of income generation. So that's really important. We know that housing is a major issue for young parents, for anybody mm-hmm. now in mm-hmm. Ireland, but particularly for young parents. So very practical supports around housing applications, you know, helping parents with able to go and see properties and rental properties and making your council applications if you're going to be eligible for social housing. You know, mental health and well-being is really important. And then all the legal information, because often with young parents, they're not together, they're not married, and there's all those issues that emerge in relation to the guardianship access, custody, mm-hmm. maintenance payments. And a big, big part of the Young Parent Support Programme, and one of the big things that we saw under the European Social Fund criteria, was that really to try harder to engage the fathers. And that's a really welcome thing that Thror has really sought hard to try and do over the course of the last 25 years to some success, but often it's very hard to engage fathers. So we're making a renewed effort with all the new programs that fathers will be built in to the support networks very early on. That doesn't mean that they have to be in a relationship with the mother. It just means that they too will get the support they need to take on that caring role as fathers in relation to, you know, being a parent for their own.
What are the biggest barriers there that are preventing them from doing that currently?
Well, often it's fear. It's the fact that they are very much stigmatized in terms of the fact that they have made this person pregnant, and they get a huge amount of blame and shame mm-hmm. in relation to that. And often, they don't know what role they can play, particularly if they're not in a long-term relationship or in a relationship with the mother. They don't know how best they can play a role in relation to the child's well-being. And so often they've stayed on the margins
mm-hmm.
and the services haven't brought them in from the margins. So the services, like even because the maternity services are directed towards the mother.
Mm-hmm.
But even that, after that, you know, it's like, how do you engage with the father? How do you bring that person in to engage with around parenting support programs, their educational bit, and their caring role that they need to take on. So it's a lot of that, and addressing that, and that peer support with other dads, letting them understand that they can be, you know, very good fathers too, even if mm-hmm. they're young, that they can take on that caring and parenting support role. So there are some of the barriers that have potentially been there, and just that fear of being a parent.
And it's probably made more difficult by the fact, A, that they're young, as we said, but also that they may not be living with the mother either, and that, you know, living separately.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they may not have their own and they may not have their own place to bring their children to from, so they have to rely on their parents. And parents, even with the best will in the world, can get in the way of the relationship being thinking, oh, look, it's better for you to not to have that father involved, or it's better for you to stay away and let the mother rear the child, and it's better for you. So often the advice is being to try and, well-intentioned, but it often has been in a way that has prevented the fathers from being involved and being engaged, because it does require you to share that parenting and that role of carer and that role of parent. And some people find that that's a challenge and more difficult to do, especially if you don't see eye to eye and you don't agree on the ways in which you think it's appropriate to bring up your child. So these are really important things, and that's why the shared parenting aspect is really important to come alongside it. How do you find agreements around? So for anybody, not just, imagine when it's how hard that is when you're at any stage in your life, but particularly for a teen or a very young parent, how they manage to try and work out those conflicts and when, you know, to try and reach agreement about how they want to raise their child, what's in their child's best interests. And often it's society says mothers have instincts and dads don't, so often dads are left out of that very important caring role of a young baby, you know.
Are you starting to see that they're starting to become more involved? Is that changing?
Yes, we're starting to see times? And there's a lot of programs and a lot of supports, more supports, not a lot. There are more supports out there that target fathers, but again, the research and evidence has shown us that if we don't make the effort to really bring fathers in, they won't naturally come to the door. There are barriers that they feel are there, hidden and often, you know, unseen barriers that they believe are there, that they're not going to be welcomed in. So much more efforts have to be done by us and the service providers to reach out and encourage the dads to be involved. But yes, all the evidence and all the international evidence is showing that men want to have more of a caring role in relation to their children. Women want men to have more of a caring role in relation to their children. So in some ways, it's a no-brainer, but it's just how do we get to that point and that practical point of being able to engage both mom and dads in the upbringing of their children and the best interest of their child.
And where anyone that's listening now, where can, I know obviously Truro has a website, what are the details, the website details, the phone number or whatever for anyone that's listening?
Yeah.
Please.
Well, you can go on to youngparents.ie is the website for the Young Parent Support Programme to find out where the nearest Young Parent Support Programme is to you. And you can dial the Truro office on 01 6700120. And that one, and we can pass you on to the appropriate person depending on what your needs are in relation to the Young Parent Support Programme. But youngparents.ie and 01 6700120.
Okay, lovely. Listen, Damien, thank you so much for taking the time to come on Community Matters this evening. It's been our pleasure to have you.
It's been wonderful. Thank you very
much. Thank you, and have a lovely evening.
You too. Bye-bye,
Monica. Bye-bye.